How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And we have a huge show today leading into a very, very busy weekend. If you are a fan of mixed martial arts and pro wrestling, well, it's the weekend for you. We have UFC events Friday night, Saturday night, WWE event on Sunday, Raw on Monday, SmackDown Tuesday. It never stops in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. This Sunday is the WWE Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. We have got 8 matches scheduled for the show thus far, 7 on the main card. We have a pre-show match as well. It is very likely that we won't be adding any matches at the last moment because the Cesaro and Sheamus versus Hardys match is in fact a 30-minute Iron Man match for the WWE Raw Tag Team titles. Got a number of matches on the show. Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe is the main event for the Universal title. There is an ambulance match with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. Winner of that match is likely facing the winner of the Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe match at SummerSlam for the title. Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, and many more. We can talk about those on the show here today. We have also got the ratings for Monday night, the Raw ratings and SmackDown ratings. SmackDown ratings, show going head-to-head with the 4th of July. You would think that a lot of kids would be out and their parents blowing stuff up and not paying attention to television, but it didn't do that bad. Only down 11% from last week. We can talk about those numbers here on the show. We have a lot of news on the Mae Young Classic. We have 2 new names. We have a list of everybody who is in the tournament so far. I can tell you how many slots are still not booked. And keep in mind, even though this will not be airing until after SummerSlam, everybody is scheduled to be in Orlando on Monday because taping begins next week. So we'll talk about that as well as how the whole thing is going to be structured in the sense we've always got to have somebody as the face of the rigmarole and 3 guesses who the face of the women's tournament is going to be. Updates on D'Angelo Williams, George St. Pierre, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, and so much more. We'll also take your phone calls, emails, and text messages. 844-411-5411 is the phone number. That is 844-411-5411. And your text message is 425-780-7566. And we'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a lot of news today. The phones are going crazy. We'll go to those in just a moment. First off, Tuesday's 4th of July edition of SmackDown on the USA Network. 2.329 million viewers, down 11% from last week, but right in line with what the show was doing over a month ago. For a comparison, Raw was down 14% last year when the show fell on the July 4th holiday. SmackDown likely held up a little better than expected due to the highly publicized return of John Cena. SmackDown first for the night in viewers on cable by quite a wide margin. Episode was first in the 18 to 49 demo with a 0.75 rating, much higher than the second place Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on ESPN2. Show was up in the year-over-year ratings as the July 7th, 2016 episode of SmackDown did 2.241 million viewers for the taped show on Tuesday night.
There you go.
A lot of older viewers stayed in, didn't go outside to blow stuff up, helped SmackDown to the, I guess, successful only down 11% number for the 4th of July.
Just like we opined yesterday, though, you're down to the absolute nubs, so it is perfectly in line with what they've been doing, because you're down to your hardest of the hardcores who are not going to miss that show no matter what.
Should mention Shazza McKenzie is on the show here today. We'll be talking women's wrestling in the final segment of the show. That brings us to this with the addition of 2 names today. Half of the field for the Mae Young Classic is officially set. WWE announced Sage Beckett and Rhea Ripley will be taking part in the tournament. Beckett was most recently known as Andrea on the Indies before signing with WWE. She's on a first name basis. Well, they're also having made a couple of appearances for TNA as Rosie Lottalove. Thank you. That's much better.
So Andrea the Lady Giant, is that what her nickname was on the indie scene?
It just says Andrea. Becca retired from pro wrestling due to medical problems in 2012, but she returned 130 pounds lighter 2 years later.
That's lighter.
So she would have been Rosie. I don't know. She won by Mary Kate in a match against Emma on an episode.
Rosie's still a good deal of love?
NXT in 2015. Ripley is another wrestler recently signed with WWE. She used her real name, Demi Bennett, before coming to WWE. So, here is the full list of competitors. We got Toni Storm, who's probably the favorite. Princessa Tsuji, Hit, however you want to pronounce it this week. Lacey Evans, Sarah Logan, Tessa Blanchard, Abby Lath, Tainara Conti, Kavita Devi, Jazzy Gabert, Bianca Belair, Vanessa Bourne, Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane, Piper Niven, Beckett, and Ripley. What is going on with these names at NXT?
I was
going
to say, can we go with their indie names so I know who the hell these people are?
This is killing me.
My God.
Now, here's the deal. So, I presume we're going to have more names announced today.
They didn't give a name to Jazzy Gabbert? She's just still
Jazzy Gabbert. So, we have five slots that are not booked yet. As in, I don't even know if five people have been contacted. Now, keep in mind, as I mentioned in the opening segment, this thing, everybody's supposed to be in Orlando Monday. So, we need some names like ASAP, because this thing is about to tape. And yes, if you recall, whenever there is a takeover event, our main man Triple H comes out and lets us know that this is his baby. Whenever they do stuff in the UK, William Regal comes out and he's the face of the UK stuff. It does appear that the face of this tournament will be Stephanie McMahon.
Of course.
So if you're a big fan of Stephanie, she's going to be all over this thing. And if you're not a big fan of Stephanie, well, there's a lot of stuff on the WWE Network for you to watch.
Oh, man. Much like her father brought us out of the smoke-filled halls we used to have to be forced to go watch professional wrestling in and brought it out to the masses, thank God Stephanie was here to stop enslaving all of these divas and turn them in to the women superstars that they really are.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What is going on?
Hey, Brian. Steve from Chicago.
Yes, Steve.
My question is regarding like the upcoming situations on SmackDown and Battleground. Obviously, wrestler gimmicks and feuds like being reused sometimes at the same time is nothing new. But it seems like upcoming Battleground, we have the WWE title feud, the U.S. title feud, and John Cena's feud basically all being contested under the same foreign menace gimmick rules, basically. Has there ever been any situation historically where, like, we've had, like, the same type of gimmick feud, like, this prominent on just one piece of programming?
Well, just WWE. I mean, Jeez. We've been seeing this forever. Yeah. Before they did the brand split, I mean, if you would have watched Raw and SmackDown, it was, I guess there was the assumption that, like, nobody was watching the other show or something like that, because SmackDown, I mean, it was like they would do the exact same thing that we just saw in Raw, and I mean, it was just weird. There was so much repetition of storylines and angles and ideas. I mean, it's amazing when you see how many people are on the creative team that we just have the same thing over and over again in all of these matches. How many Foreign Menace... Seriously, how many Foreign Menace storylines do we need in one promotion?
You're right about that, but it's not like they've never done something like this before. I mean, in the 80s, you had an evil Iranian, an evil Russian, an evil French-Canadian. You had these, you know, the xenophobia, you had these evil characters, and in a lot of ways, they were the same storyline, but maybe I think it felt different because there was so much other stuff going on, and
it felt different because it was cycled.
Well, but they also, these things had their own different personalities to them where there's a very vanilla, simple, to me, it's a very antiseptic thing that they have now where there's no even feel of anything being slightly different.
My point is in WWE in the 80s, yeah, you'd have Hulk Hogan versus whoever. If Hulk Hogan was facing, actually, he mostly didn't face those.
But that's
my point
thing.
Is,
but look,
you wouldn't have a Foreign Menace with Hogan, a Foreign Menace with the Ultimate Warrior, and a Foreign Menace with the Hart Foundation all at the same time.
But in a way, you did. It's just everything had its own personality, and you did different things. I mean, you could have Hulk Hogan against Nikolai while Corporal Kirshner was battling the Iron Sheik and you know, the Hart Foundation and the Rougeaus or something like that. But everything had its own unique personality to it, and that's not the case now.
Go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Brian.
Hi. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to think the question is wacky, and it is wacky, but it has a point as well, okay?
Okay.
Who do you think would win a shoot fight? Current day Ronda Rousey, as of Ronda Rousey right now, or prime Arn Anderson?
Ronda Rousey right now or prime Arn Anderson?
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, there's a very good chance it would be Ronda Rousey.
Oh, come on. Be honest. Who do you think would win? Do you think?
Arn Anderson has no... What is Arn Anderson's athletic background?
Spine busters.
The reason I ask you is, it's obvious Arn Anderson would win that fight,
No,
right?
It's not obvious. It's not obvious at all.
No.
Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a serious question, okay? Let me ask you a serious question. All you ever do is talk about how Brock Lesnar got knocked out in two fights. So let me ask you a very serious question. Brock Lesnar was a very, very, very high-level wrestler. An amateur wrestler.
Champion.
Braun Strowman has no wrestling background whatsoever. So they ring the bell, and Brock Lesnar immediately double-legs Braun Strowman and takes him down to the mat. Braun Strowman's going to win by what? Bench pressing him? Is he going to bench press him off and then stand up and knock him out? What is Braun Strowman going to do the moment he gets taken down by a very high-level wrestler? Braun Strowman has zero takedown defense. None. He's never, for one day in his life, I don't think he's ever trained a sprawl. I don't even know if he knows what a sprawl is. He's never done it in his whole life. So he's not going to stop the takedown. What's going to happen the moment they end up on the ground? What is
Strowman's
his
going to brutalize him?
What does his 6'8" have to do when he's flat on his back?
He's going to brutalize him.
How?
The reason that Arn Anderson, would beat Ronda Rousey is because she's 100 pounds lighter and she's 6 inches smaller.
No. Where are you getting these stats?
100 pounds lighter and 6 inches smaller than Braun Strowman. It's common sense.
It's common sense if you watch a lot of wacky movies and you watch 1980s WWF. But it's not common sense if you've ever watched real fights in your life. If you've watched real fights, if you knew who Bob Sapp was, if you had seen any of these fights that I talked about the other day, you'd realize that a trained fighter against an untrained person, size is so much less of an issue when one person is trained and one person is not. Now listen, if Braun Strowman had Brock Lesnar's wrestling, amateur wrestling pedigree, then yes, he'd probably win because he outweighs him by 100 pounds. But you're talking about a guy who's never done it before versus somebody who was a champion. We're going to head to a break. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show, Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and info, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Everything you ever wanted to know about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, plus the members area. If you ever miss one of these shows, grab the podcast at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as 8,000 other shows dating back to 2005. Every show we've ever done is available daily for subscribers to podcast. 2 to 3 brand new shows a day. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. This guy says, this fella needs to focus on running the Braun Strowman fan club and stop calling the show. He's not getting good reviews here.
Well, this person may have jumped the bear with that one with Arn Anderson.
This person says, who would win in a fight, a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? Well, I don't know. Who's trained and who's untrained? That's the key to this whole argument.
Mm-hmm.
He's fixated on size. He's not fixated on ability, which is a key to this whole thing. This person says, I think our Scottish friend believes amateur wrestling is fake as well. I don't know if I'd go that far. I think he knows that amateur wrestling is legitimate, but I think that he's I don't know what it is about size. I don't know why he's fallen into this size trap. I mean, is it Vince McMahon calling the show?
Hey, look, he's not the only one. There are still people. There are a lot of people.
It's 2017. How? It ain't 1993.
They're not actually involved in actually doing sports, I guess. I don't know what it is, why people still have that fascination, but he's not the only one who does.
This person says, ducks are fierce. Well, I'm well aware of that. But the question was about duck versus duck, or big duck versus multi-ducks.
Yeah.
I mean, I presume multi-ducks would win because it's multiple opponents. Like, Ken Shamrock was nearly killed in a fight with the Nasty Boys, who were not trained fighters. This was long before his UFC career. But it was two versus one, so what can you do when it's two versus one? It's trouble.
And he was drunk and they attacked him, too. It's not like this was a fair, straight-up fight. As we've heard, Ernie Ladd against the Briscoes was. Now, I guess there's a great example of, although I'm sure alcohol played a very big part there, of, you know, a large man who's untrained but has got a bat against two incredibly talented amateur wrestlers.
This person says, Arn Anderson versus Rousey. Time for another ban. Foolish argument. Well, listen, I don't think this guy is trolling. I'm trying to help him understand. And maybe educate some others as well who may think that all you need to do is be big and you win automatically. Because that's not the case.
Tell them all the times in your life size didn't matter.
Well, what fight or match are you looking forward to the most? I presume he's asking at Great Balls of Fire, but I'm not sure, actually. But I can tell you this because I got a very interesting email that I want to read right here. This is in regards to, if you go to Podcast 1, the Killing the Town podcast with Storm and Cyrus. I'm a guest talking heat. Talked about this a little while ago here on this show, but Richard here says, I've been listening to your rant about WWE heat. I could not agree more. That's why I was startled to see the smart money odds for Great Balls of Fire this Sunday. Obviously, anything could change. I expect it will, but this is smart money, so there's something to it. Is there really smart money on Friday? Doesn't that usually come in like Sunday afternoon?
Yeah.
But anyway, he says, of these seven matches on the main card, at this point, only one babyface is favored to win. At the time of this writing, favored to win are The Miz, Alexa Bliss, Braun Strowman, Big Cass, Sheamus and Cesaro, Lesnar, and Seth Rollins, all favored to win. That would mean all five heel champions retain their titles, which is also weird since WWE likes to switch at least one title in a pay-per-view. Not necessarily, actually. Like I said, I expect this to change because WWE at least attempts to have some balance and heel face wins on pay-per-view. Right now, it is 6-1. Well, here's what I can tell you. I do think that Braun Strowman is going to lose on Sunday. I think Roman Reigns is beating him. And again, this is not, I don't think this is smart money yet. I think smart money usually comes in over the weekend. I mean, maybe it came in really early.
No, but we always see a flood of money move on Sunday, so.
Usually, not always.
Usually, yeah, not always, but that's usually the case.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What a double whammy.
My question is about any time in pro wrestling, would I be considered a conspiracy theorist if I thought wrestling was predetermined because skeptics think that no one can keep a secret if it involves a large amount of people, and that would involve a large amount of people keeping a secret.
What are you talking about?
Well, he's
but you always see yourself as a skeptic. So
no, well, what are you talking about with wrestling? Wait a second. What are you talking about, a conspiracy theory about wrestling being worked?
Guys keeping kayfabe.
Well, I imagine there was a day, like, say, maybe 1900, where people thought wrestling was real.
No, actually, there never was.
Well, there's always been somebody that thinks wrestling's on the
line. No, you can go back to, like, the late 1800s. The newspaper articles talked about professional wrestling and how it was often a farce. I mean, this is the late 1800s.
Fake news. I'll trust the old lady in the front row.
Well, even Dave Meltzer, when he first saw wrestling, he thought it was real, too. He had to get back.
Yeah, he was six.
Yeah, but Dave Meltzer's like one of the smartest minds in wrestling. So
yeah, he is now, but he was six.
I thought he inherited his knowledge from his family.
So he was born knowing that wrestling was not on the level? That's genetic.
I would think his mom and dad would tell him that.
Well, apparently they didn't, Ryan. Would you get out of here? What is he talking about? Crying out loud. That was worse than the Scottish guy.
There's always going to be somebody who thinks wrestling is real, but I mean, there's the whole thing.
I'm not sure Ryan's real.
You could keep up the lie. Doesn't necessarily mean that it was nobody figured it out. I mean, like you said, like Carl Stern's doing his July marathon up on the site right now. There are articles that date back to the late 1800s, and in fact, like I believe it's the 1870s, early 1880s, where you know newspapers are already writing about wrestling being just an exhibition and not on the level and all a farce.
This person here says, any word on the rating for night one of the G1 special on Access? Well, they don't do ratings, so you'll never get it. But viewership-wise, it was It was very, very good. That's really all we know about it. And yes, there's more tonight on Access TV. In fact, well, check your local listings, because the time is really weird if you want to check this out. Probably running throughout the weekend as well. There's going to be New Japan, so check out Access TV. This person says, you need a call screener. No, I don't. I do not need a call screener. You tell me you aren't enjoying these calls, get out of here. This person says, Scottish guy should be named the Geek of the Week due to him not listening or acknowledging your facts. Well, he's definitely not listening. That is for sure. Should mention D'Angelo Williams has sadly retired. They wanted him to do more matches after his great performance on Sunday at Slammiversary, but he turned them down. Said it was a childhood dream. He has accomplished it, and now he is hanging up the tights. It's very sad.
He'll be back. He'll be back. Look, the man still has a legitimate NFL career that I'm sure flashed before his eyes when he bounced off that table and hit the mat last Sunday night. But, I mean, he's, what, 34, 35 years old, whatever it is, something like that. I mean, he's got plenty of time to get back into wrestling if he so chooses.
Caller, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hi, Corey from New York.
Yes, Corey.
Just a quick question. Besides getting, besides El Rey getting more clearance on cable companies, what, if anything, can Lucha Underground do to actually have buzz again? Because, I mean, I think besides this past week's show, I think since Mundo's been champion, I think it's been a pretty good, at least, in-ring product. But maybe on your side, it's different from everything I see. It's really nobody particularly, you know, cares at this point about Lucha Underground. Is there anything they can really do to make this product, you know, noteworthy again?
Well, you know, I don't know, because sometimes when you run people off, they don't give you another chance. I mean, a prime example is Impact, Global Force Wrestling. I mean, they've rebranded, they've got a new name, they got rid of Dixie Carter, but I mean, I never hear anybody talking about it, because Vinny, for example, I mean, it doesn't matter if Dixie is gone and everything has changed. He's had so many years of watching terrible TNA Impact TV that he doesn't want to give him another chance. And unfortunately, Lucha Underground, I know that I'll hear the blowback, but this is just the reality. There was too much man-on-woman violence. And you can trace it back to that one show where it was that whole period where Sexy Star won the title and then Pentagon destroyed these three women before they finally broke his arm at the end. I mean, that was where it all fell off a cliff, and it's never recovered. And I don't know, like, if you were turned off by the show, I mean, what's going to happen to make you come back to it? It just doesn't work like that in wrestling. I mean, we saw it with WCW. WCW at the very end, like the last 3 or 4 months of their existence, and I guess even a little further beyond that, where they got rid of Russo and they got rid of Bischoff, and I mean, it was better for the last year of their existence. They had gotten a lot better. But it was too late. They ran those people off, and those people weren't going to give them another chance. So I don't know. Maybe if they got a brand new platform and they got millions of new viewers who'd never seen it before, they would be starting fresh. But getting the viewers back that they've already lost, I don't know if it's going to happen. Back in a moment with Shazza McKenzie, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Shazza McKenzie is joining us here today. We got a lot to talk about. Shazza, how you doing?
Hello. I'm good, thank you.
Man, I got a lot of questions for you. I always like to look at everyone's Wikipedia because there's always something wacky on everybody's Wikipedia. And
oh, gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know.
I know. My Wikipedia originally said that I was 110 kilos, which is about double my weight.
110 kilos? Wow.
Great.
Well, you could tell everybody that you lost a tremendous amount of weight and they could be even more impressed with you.
Yes. I could work it into a whole storyline.
Now, a couple of questions. First off, when there's a listing here of who you were trained by, it's got six people here.
Has it?
Yeah, six different people. That seems excessive.
That is excessive. Who does it have listed as my six different people there?
Well, it's got Madison Eagles, Ryan Eagles, Jay Law, George Julio, Billy Flyswat, and Solar Soleimanizada.
Oh, no. That is just people messing with my
Oh, no. I hate it when that happens.
The Eagles and J-Law, that's correct. And
those two are correct.
And the rest of it is just a bit all over the place.
Sure. Now, how was it being trained by Madison Eagles? What made you decide? I mean, I'll get to that in a second. What made you decide you wanted to be a wrestler? But what was it like training with Madison?
Well, the way I see it, I'm very lucky that I happen to live in the same city as Madison Eagles. So once I'd learned enough about wrestling at my original school and realized that I had access to someone the likes of Madison Eagles just half an hour down the road, it seemed completely ridiculous if I wanted to be a successful female wrestler to not train under the former number one in the entire world female wrestler. Like, it just seemed crazy that anyone who had that access to them and was aware of it would not choose to go down that path. And I've been training with Madison and Robbie Eagles for about 8 or 9 years now, so they've really shaped who I am as a professional wrestler every day when I'm in the ring. You'll see little influences from them.
Now, it also says right here that among your inspirations in wrestling are Trish Stratus, which obviously is you know, that makes sense. But it also lists here Brock Lesnar.
I wouldn't say he's an inspiration, but so when I was a fan, though, like before I learned to wrestle, when I was just a young teenager watching wrestling, Brock Lesnar was my favorite wrestler. And I've had this thing where I haven't gone back and watched any of the matches that were like my favorite went from then, because I don't want to watch them and be critical, because I know that when I watched them as a teenager, they just blew my mind, and I don't want to ever lose that feeling towards those matches. Like his match with Eddie Guerrero at is it No Way Out, I believe, and like things like that. Like, I don't want to go back and have that ruined for me. So as a fan, I'm still a fan of his work now. It's completely different now, the stuff that he does. But yeah, I never want to ruin the feelings that I have towards the matches prior to him leaving and going off and doing the UFC stuff and then coming back.
I would say that it's a pretty safe bet that if you went back and watched Brock Lesnar versus Eddie Guerrero again, you probably wouldn't be disappointed. I don't know about some of the others.
I know I wouldn't be disappointed.
Yeah, you wouldn't be. I don't think you'd be too critical of that particular match.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be critical. It's just I don't want to ever, like, lose those feelings towards that match.
Sure. Now, another thing that's interesting is in July 2011, it says here, you beat Tennille Taylor in her last match in Australia. She, of course, became Emma. Yeah. So then, 3 years later, in NXT, she got her win back on you.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We just finished off the story.
That's kind of weird, though, isn't it?
It took her a while to get her revenge on me, but we got there.
I mean, has she been plotting for 3 years and she was like, one of these days, when we need an extra, I'm going to make sure that it's Shazza so I can get my win back.
She had a room with just photos of me and like plots and how she was going to get back at me.
That's what I'm thinking.
3 years later, it came to fruition.
It's just such a weird coincidence that she just had to get that win back.
She just had to. It was just eating her up inside.
Now, it is interesting. I have had Lance Storm on the show a million times, and he obviously runs a school, and he's got so many Australian women that go through his school, and they end up being signed by WWE. And I always asked him, I just was like, what is it with Australian women? Why do you have so many of them? I mean, what's going on here? What can you tell me about this?
There's even more Australian. Like, I know quite a few Australian girls that have gone to Lance's and they're not signed, but they've still gone on and done stuff in Australia. Like, I don't know, it's not even just the women. Like, a lot of the guys in Australia want to go train at Lance's. And actually, when I was really young and I, like, first wanted to be a wrestler when I was, like, 15, I pretty much told my parents I was going to leave school and I was going to get a job and I was going to save up money and I was going to move and train with Lance Storm. But then I discovered I could learn how to wrestle closer and I didn't end up saving as much money. But I got over to the other side of the world eventually. But that was, it's just, for some reason, Lance Storm resonates with us Australians. He's just, he's a mastermind in the ring, so.
But I mean, when you were a kid, was he like a big star among the Australians for some reason?
I mean, I don't remember him being any more of a star with us. Maybe we just, because I feel like a lot of Australians also like lean towards like Edge and Christian and stuff. Maybe we just have a thing for like Canadians because we feel like we're like the Canadians of the other side of the world.
That could be. That could be.
And long-lost cousins.
Yeah, I just thought that was really interesting that it was just so many Australian women. I was like, if you want to be signed by WWE, be an Australian woman and go to Lance's school. It seemed like...
Yeah, that's pretty much a running joke in Australia.
Now, there was an incident recently where you were in the ring with Shayna Baszler, and after the match, you had 7 staples inserted into the back of your head. What happened?
Okay. Basically, what happened was I went to jump and do a Rana off the apron with Shayna on the ground, and we just happened to be a bit too close to the guardrail, and so as my head went around, the corner part of the guardrail decided to slice open the back of my head, and then proceeded to bleed everywhere. I didn't notice that, I knew I'd hit my head, but I didn't realize it was anything, like, creepy or anything.
Catastrophic.
The back of my head, so I can't see the blood, until, like, a bit later when I, like, just heard, like, this one fan yell out, like, oh my god, she's bleeding! And I was like, what? And
then
I,
like, was that Ed?
Back of my head, and I was like, oh, blood.
Now, did you suffer a concussion, or was it just bloody?
No, it was just, I was very, very, very lucky that I didn't suffer a concussion. I knew straight away that I was fine as well because I'd had a concussion about 2 months earlier. So I knew what a concussion felt like pretty fresh, like in my brain. So I knew like as soon as I hit that I was like, okay, no, I'm fine. I've hurt my head. Like it was just a flesh wound. And then they stapled my hair into the staples. So now I have a giant chunk of my hair missing from when they took the staples out.
Oh, my God. I mean, is that usually how they staple your head, or did somebody just screw something up?
I don't know. I don't know many people that have had the back of their head stapled. So
well, it's rare. It's fairly
really
rare, yeah.
It.
Huh.
Now, I got a question for you, because we know you from Shimmer and Shine, at least in America here, but you wrestle often in Australia, and Brian mentioned, you know, Emma and Billy Kay and Peyton Royce and Kelly Skater and Evie, and there's all of these, Dahlia Black, all of these women coming out of Australia and New Zealand, who we only see here. What is it like? What's the scene like right now in Australia? Because it seems to be great on the indies everywhere in the world, whether it be in the UK, Scotland, Japan, here in the States. What's it like in Australia, New Zealand right now?
It's really good. Like we wrestle every weekend. Like I can't remember the last weekend I didn't have a show. And so whenever I don't have a show, I get very confused because we do. We wrestle quite regularly all around Australia. And I think the biggest thing that Australian wrestling is missing is like the exposure. Because we are so far away, I think we need more companies there need to get their stuff online quicker and get that exposure out to America, because I'm a firm believer that Australia is just on the verge of having kind of like that boom that UK wrestling scene had, is having at the time. It's just an exposure issue. Once people see what we've got around here, because you guys can see it from the ones of us that have traveled over here. It's just it's a very long flight, and it's hard for everyone to be able to get over here to be seen. So it is, hopefully we can get some more exposure with the companies that are in Australia, because there are some really good men and women there. And once people see that, I think it'll take off even more.
What's up with Denny's?
What's up with Denny's?
Yeah. I hear you're a big fan.
I love it. It's the greatest.
Better than Waffle House?
Excuse me. It's
like,
the greatest.
Nothing.
It's the greatest.
It's so good.
It's the greatest restaurant in all of America, Denny's.
Yeah, You can get breakfast, you can get lunch, you can get dinner, you can get it any time of the day that you want it.
What kind of restaurants do they have in Australia? What do you eat when you're in Australia? You don't have anything like Denny's where you can get anything you want all day?
No, you have nothing. The only thing, when we finish shows, if we want to go out and get something fresh made, if we want to get food on the run and we haven't brought our food with us, which a lot of us do these days because it's just the only option is after a show is McDonald's. So it's not all that exciting in Australia. It's the only thing that's open 24 hours. That's food, other than like a gas station.
See, you could change everything over there. You can forget about the wrestling knowledge you've applied. You could franchise a bunch of International House of Pancakes and Waffle Houses. And that's what you should do. You should take that over there.
I know. People would go crazy if someone got it together and we opened like a Denny's or an IHOP or something. People would go crazy because there's just nothing to eat at, 2 a.m. other than McDonald's. And I don't really want to eat McDonald's at 2 a.m.
Man, but Denny's. Denny's at 2 a.m.
Denny's.
Do you get breakfast at 2 a.m.? Are you one of those people?
I always, breakfast. I had it the other day and I got one of the chicken skillets. So I had more of a dinner meal because it was dinner time. But normally I'm a fit slam with some peanut butter for my muffin and I'm good to go. Turkey bacon. We don't have turkey bacon in Australia either. We love turkey bacon though.
Man, oh man. How often are you here in America? I mean, what's your schedule very quickly?
Usually every 6 months. It's whenever Shimmer runs, they tend to come over here. So yeah, so every 6 months or so. I'd love to come over more, but it is very much a long and expensive plane ride. So yeah, I wish I could live over here. I would be ecstatic, but unfortunately there's laws that stop that from happening.
Now, how long is the flight very quickly?
So to get to LA is about 14 hours, and so you can fly into LA or Dallas. Those are your two options. They're both about 14 hours, and then from there, whatever the amount of time it is to get to wherever you're going, because very rarely is LA the last stop.
Sure. Well, we're going to head to a break here in just a moment. When we come back, we'll talk some social media, upcoming shows, and more. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi, WrestlingObserver.com. Jasmine McKenzie joining us here today. We got about a minute. Let's do some upcoming dates and some social media. The floor is yours.
Okay, easy. So social medias, Instagram and Twitter is at Shazza_McKenzie. My Facebook is Shazza McKenzie Pro Wrestler. And you can see me this weekend in Chicago at the Bowen Eagles Club for Shimmer Volume 92-95 on Saturday and Sunday. And then I'm back in Australia, and I don't remember what my Australia dates are, but I have them. But they'll all be on my social medias. Most important is to come down to Chicago tomorrow.
That is Saturday and Sunday, Chicago at the Berwyn Eagles Club. If you're in the area, make sure you head out there. And, of course, you can check out all of Shazza's social media for more on that. And I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today, and best of luck this weekend, and have a good time at Denny's.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
I know it's coming. Thanks so much. And, of course, we're out of time, everybody. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. I want to thank everybody for listening here today. Mike, as always, we'll talk to you again later on this weekend here on Wrestling Observer Live.